don't know who I am, my name is Jonna Harkness, and I head up the women's ministry here at Harvest. And I'm very excited to be starting this study, More Than Conquerors, with you guys. I feel so weird holding a microphone, sorry. I feel like I should be singing, so maybe I should sing what I'm going to say. Okay. So I have a question for you, though. If you know Jesus as your Savior, if you have received Him as your Savior, how many of you, just by a show of hands, since receiving Christ as Savior, have ever said, God, I want nothing to do with you, I don't believe in the Bible, and I think you're a fake? Well, that's a good sign. Okay, cool. All right. How many of you, by showing your hands, you can just show one, it's okay. I get really tired at night, and so I say goofy things. Those of you who have been in the study already know to plan on that. So I'm like entertainment, not just starting things out. By a show of hands, how many of you, I'm so nervous because my husband is here. He's gonna be like, Jonna, you're gonna have to pull it together. By a show of hands, how many of you have ever said, God, I feel like you're so far away from me? Pretty much all of us, right? And if you look at, you don't have to look right now, but Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, let us pay much closer attention to what we've heard so that we don't drift away from it. And if you've ever sat on a lake in a boat and stopped paddling the boat but just sat there, you notice that after a while, you're just kind of drifting. You don't just stay in one spot. And when we don't pay much closer attention to God's word, we drift. And it just happens. And then so one day we're saying, God, I just love you. It's so good to be near you. And we go for a while where we haven't spent any time studying his word or in prayer, or maybe we just shot up the please help me with this day or whatever. And then after a while we say, are you even there? It feels like you're not there. And then after even a while longer, we just feel farther and farther away from him. So this study is an opportunity for you and for me to take God's word and to be in it every single day and to pay close attention to what he's going to teach us and to be closer to him and not drift away. My hope and my prayer for you is as you study his word over the next 7 weeks, that it's not going to be just a thing where you go, oh, that was nice, but you're going to say, now I know, and I want to even know more, and you'll continue to be in God's word, because that is his love letter to you, to tell you how much you matter to him. And you're going to find that out even tonight with what Tim is going to take us through. So I'm just going to tell you, tonight's going to be a little bit different than most of the weeks that we're going to be here. Tonight, normally I'm going to welcome you, and then I'm going to send you to your small groups, and then we'll come back together for some interactive talking through things and some little bit of lecture of me sharing what I've learned. But tonight, Tim is going to show us how it's done. So he'll explain where this came from, but tonight he's going to take 5 days of homework that you're going to be doing each week and put it all in an hour. So it'll be fun. So when your head starts spinning and you start feeling a little dizzy, it's normal, and you're not the only one. So you can just know that. But just know that it is going to be so worth it. And my prayer for you is even tonight you're going to have some of those moments where you go, I hadn't thought of it that way, or I didn't realize that. And you're going to see God in a light that maybe you hadn't seen before, or just be reminded of something that you've kind of forgotten over time. So I will go ahead and pray, and then I'm just going to hand it over to Tim. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the women in this room. I thank you, Lord, that even though I'm standing here thanking you for them, Father, you adore them. You know them so well. You know every hair on their head. You know what's in their heart. You know everything about them, and you adore them. And I pray tonight, Lord, that they will know a little bit more of how much they matter to you, and they'll be able to lift your name high, and that you'll matter more to them and to me as well, Lord. I pray for Tim as he takes us through the beginning of this study, Lord, that you'll just anoint him. I pray that he'll speak your word clearly, and that when we're done with this evening, we will be so excited to get started on our first day of homework tomorrow. We lift this up to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. One last thing before I hand it over to Tim. If you have a phone with you, could you please put it on vibrate or silence? Thank you.
All right. Well, appreciate being able to be with you guys tonight. I'm excited about what we're going to walk through. I basically walked through some of this material with the men's ministry back in the fall. We started it, and we did a study with them as well. I called it White Hot, okay? And it started from some things going on over the summer and just trying to come up with this, hey, Lord, what does it take for us to really get on fire for you? What do I need to be doing? What do I need to be going after that I might really be excited about what you're doing in my life? And then be able to sustain that. What's that look like? And so this is what came out of that study, and then some of what I've already shared with the guys. I'll just tell you that we did a 5-week study with the guys. You're going to be doing a 7-week on Romans 6 through 8. We did a 5-weeker in Philippians, and by the end of it, I had a number of guys coming to me, literally, kind of teared up, just saying, man, like the word is coming to life for me like never before. I'm telling you, God's doing something because of this. So my request is just be patient. Let's walk through it. There's going to be some technique to it, some things we're learning together, and then there's also the content to watch over as you're moving through it, okay? So let me just explain. If you go to page 1, we'll just walk a little bit of information here for you, all right? The method. This was actually a 3-part sermon that I preached one time. We'll walk through it in like 3 minutes here, okay? But the method starts with being thankful. Make sure that in your approach, if you're looking to go after being white hot, I mean on fire for Jesus Christ, you really want to be psyched about what he did, who he is, and what he's doing in your life, be thankful. It's easy to not. It's easy to get distracted with what's going wrong. Have you ever noticed that? We're like experts at what's wrong, right? If somebody says, hey, give me 9 things that are going wrong in your life, man, can we get that list out, you know? Hey, give me 9 things that are going well. Hang on. I can come up with a few, right? We start wrestling with it. Be thankful, all right? So we talk about spiritual breathing. For those of you who go to Harvest, you know what I'm talking about. This idea of breathing out, like expressing, getting rid of the bad, right? Just, Lord, please forgive me. Confession. That's the breathing out. And then the breathing in is just, Lord, you're awesome. Look at some of the promises of who you are and what you're doing in my life and spiritual breathing, okay? That's the being thankful. Confession and thanksgiving. The second one is be holy. This is love God, love others, hate sin. This is, Lord, may I love what you love and hate what you hate. May I share your passions, okay? And we can do that in a couple of ways. Our experiences lead us along the way a lot of times. When it comes to holiness, oftentimes where you trip up, what you do poorly in, you kind of go, note to self, I need to work on that. You know what I mean? And our experiences can teach us very readily what we need to be working on. So that's great. Tap into your own experiences of some of the struggles you have, or even of struggles you see others have, and you can learn a lot about holiness. You know where else you learn about holiness? Through his word. And as you spend time going through his word, you spend time understanding more of who he is and what he has in store for you. You notice one of the big words I put dig on there in like this massive bold, right? This is we are going to be learning how to dig into his word. That's a big part of what you're going to be learning in the 7 weeks. How to let the word come to life before you, okay? That dig technique. All right? So the last one there is choose you this day. Holiness is a moment by moment decision. Okay? Each day, throughout the day, as tough things come up, as easy things come up, it's always a, Lord, please help me keep my mind focused on you. Holiness. It's a moment-by-moment decision. And you know, Joshua gave the battle cry, choose you this day whom you will serve, right? That's our battle cry. Lord, this day, I choose you. Okay, so white hot. That's the beginnings of it. Being thankful, being holy, and choosing right in the moment to be running after him. Okay? Well, that sounds nice. How do I dig, Tim? What am I going to do? I've read the Bible, and quite frankly, as I read through it, there's times where I blast through it, and I'm like, well, even know what to do with that information. It doesn't really stir me, and I'm certainly not sensing anything I should go after, and I guess I'm done. I'll just set it down. Reading the Bible didn't work this time, right? And all too often, we get into a habit of reading quickly and moving on. This is going to help us slow down, dig deep, all right? That's where we're going. So, how do I dig? Point number four there. We're going to use a few terms just to get you trained up on what's going on. Don't be afraid of them, all right? So the first one here, select the pericope, okay? The pericope. All that means is a collection of sentences and phrases that are brought together that have to do with the same topic, okay? It's kind of like a paragraph, but sometimes, you know, paragraphs have to do with white space and indents and all that, right? So it may not be broken off into paragraphs. You may not even have a Bible that does paragraphing, right? If you've got the New American Standard, a lot of them don't even paragraph. So it's about a collected group of sentences, verses that have to do with each other. That's a pericope, okay? Well, how do I know what a pericope is in the Bible? Okay, if you look in your Bible, and go ahead and just grab it, turn to Romans 6 right now. This is a good time to turn there. If you look in your Bible, there's actually headings every several verses, every 10, 15 verses, something like that. You'll see a big, bold heading, okay? Those headings are the names of pericopes. Like, if you notice when I'm preaching on Sundays, we're usually going from big, bold heading to big, bold heading, okay? We're staying within a pericope, and we're learning what it has to say, and we're going after it. So that's a great way to dig deep, is stay into a collected group of verses and dive down. Notice, it's not, you know what you need to do? You need to read 5 chapters a day. It needs to take you somewhere between an hour and 3 hours. And this is the way to, like, that's not what we're saying, right? It's stop, get a segment that has to do with each other, slow down, and start diving down in and learning information from it, okay? So how do we dive into that pericope? That's what we're going to look at here. Go ahead and turn to the next page. So, there's this term that I've used before. You might have heard it, heard me use it. OPA, observation, principle, application, right? So, the Greek word, right, opa, you know what I'm talking about? Like, you need a plate, you got to smash it on the ground, right? Opa, what are they saying? Like, this is awesome, celebrate. All right, that's what opa means. Okay, just use that. Observation, principle, application. That's a great way to be finding stuff in God's Word and be blown away by it, okay? And it just spells the word. Everybody get ready to respond now. It spells the word. All right, that's what we're going after. Lord, blow me away with your word. I want to see it, okay? So, opa, we're going in expectantly and excitedly. Now, we're just going to walk real quickly through these right now. We're going to actually do this tonight. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time in talking about it. We're just going to go to doing it. But let me just show you real quickly. You look under observations, like what's the heading for that pericope you're looking at? Write that down, right? That's one little simple study piece. What did they think it was in my Bible? Or now you stop and just walk through each verse, each phrase, and just try to put it in your own words. Rephrase it. You will be amazed how slowing down and trying to rephrase what you're reading will make it come to life for you. This is a huge step. Quite frankly, probably about 80% of the work is just slow down, put it into your own words. All right? So that rephrasing is a big deal. Writing it down, huge. You'll have these great moments where you're like, you say it to yourself, you're like, that was awesome. And then like an hour later, you can't remember a thing of what you came up with. Write it down. It's great to go back and reflect on later. And that way, when you're going through a pericope, which you now know the meaning of, when you're going through the pericope, you can go over a couple days of it and keep track, okay? So do write down your findings there. A couple other things, like repeated words. Have you ever noticed that if you're trying to make the emphasis, you'll say it over and over and over? Like I just did with the word over, right? Like it's a big deal. You repeat it to try to get the point across. If an author is repeating something, he's trying to make sure you understand it's important, all right? So look for repeated words. Okay, here comes your grammar test. Look for verbs. Some of you are like, I don't know if I know what a verb is. The basics, if you can do it, it's a verb. All right? So look for the words where you can do it. Look for action words. Look for something that's true about you needing to act or something, somebody acting upon you, and get those things written down. What are the verbs that are going on? All right? And just a couple other things there, like power words. I mean, if you see a word like certainly or indeed, or you see an exclamation point, like those are big moments. Those are power statements. And just keeping track of those and writing those down is a big deal. Okay? It'll help you grasp a little bit more what's happening. So that's observation. Why does observation matter? I refer to it like this. It's like kindling when you're starting a fire. Okay? We talk about white hot. We're looking for a fire. How do I get it? This is what it is. You start with your kindling wood and you stack it all up, right? Then you need to set a spark on it. You get the fire going. Then you need to put some logs on it. The observation is like the kindling wood, okay? It's dry. It burns easily. It's easy to start with. You set it up, and you're about ready to have a fire. Have you ever stopped in front of kindling that's not lit and gone like this? It's not very warm. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you can do a lot of observing. It ain't going to fire you up. Okay? Observing is the starting point. The next piece is the spark that starts to light it. Okay? And we call it principle. Finding the principles. These are those timeless truths. The things that are true about God, and because He's true, it's still true today. Like, I don't care when you live, this is true because God is who He is. Okay? So it's not culturally dependent. It's just absolute truth based on God and who He is. How do those fall out? Well, you're going to find them in, especially in these letters from Paul, you're going to find them in commands he's giving, things he's asking you to do and be a part of and be about, things you're seeing going on in the storyline, very strong challenges of timeless truth, a principle, okay? A great way to settle in on a timeless truth or a principle is to take and break it up. Like, if you'll notice, there's a couple of paragraphs in each of these pericopes usually, okay? And John has done the work for you throughout this booklet where she's broken those paragraphs up. So you'll have usually two or three paragraphs per section. And going back and putting a label on those paragraphs and saying, I want to make sure that I've got a command associated with that section. Okay? I know what I'm going to do. And you got to do me a favor now, okay? It's not a factoid. It's not a piece of information. It's a command. Okay? Like, I will walk in Him, or I will be close to Him, or I will trust Him. Or, you hear the action words in it? It's not God's trustworthy. Well, that's great. But what am I going to do about it? Okay, turn it into an action word. You'll be amazed at the difference. The fire, the spark, is actually coming from you beginning to find out the word is applicable. Like, it matters to you. You can do it, and it can change your life, okay? So the spark comes by timeless truths. It's like, you mean, are you kidding me? Like, this is actually applicable? The spark is lit, okay? Now start diving down deeper and going, how specifically can I be doing something about that? What specifically is my application out of this? Okay, that's the A in OPA. That's like the heavy logs on the fire. Now you're getting that bad boy burning deep, okay? You're finding deep in the word that it's principally applied and it's applicationally true for you. Your life can be changed because of it. God rock my world. That's where the white hot from Scripture comes, okay? So OPA, it's just observations, principle, application. Lord, I want to find some truth about You. Lord, I want to make sure I can apply it to my life, and I want it to be detailed, specific, and for right now. Let's go after it, all right? Make sense? Make sense?
Yes.
All right. So let's dive in. Let's do it. All right. So we're going to start with Romans chapter 6. Why don't you just take a moment to read the first 14 verses there. Go ahead and just read it. I'll give you a moment. Romans 6, 1 through 14. For those of you looking for Romans, it's New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. So it's a little bit into the New Testament. Okay, let's get started. And I know some of you may not have finished reading. That's okay. We're going to move through this together. So here we go. We're going to start in the first section. Notice how in this, there's Romans 6, 1 through 14. There are actually three paragraphs in most of your versions. You'll find three paragraphs in the Bible there, okay? We're going to walk through this using your booklet. You may want to fill this out in your booklet as we go through tonight. That way you have an example for when you start to go through this week. Like Jonna said, we're going to do in about 45 minutes here what you're going to do over an entire 5 days. Okay, so you'll be able to slow it down, really learn some things, go through it patiently. All right, here we go. Warp speed. Ready? All right, so what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? So help me now. That's the very beginning sentence. What's the heading you have over this pericope in your version? What's the heading? Go ahead and throw it out at me.
Dead to sin, alive to God.
Dead to sin, alive to God. Good. Any others?
Freedom from sin, right?
Freedom from... There we go. Yeah, got those Bible words running through you, though. Love, grace. Yeah. So freedom from sin's grasp. Any others?
Dead to sin, alive to Christ.
Okay, good. So dead to sin, alive in Christ, or alive to God. Those are the variations with some of the different versions you have. Just write that down, okay, as the title of your pericope. I think there's a section there, a heading there that says, what is the heading for this? Write that there. That's their thought on what's going on, okay? Now, next step. Here we go to rephrase. So what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Try to rephrase that sentence for me. Just throw at me what he's really challenging. Sometimes it helps to break it down into phrases. Let's try to do this whole sentence on this one. Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? What's he saying? I'll be very patient. No, go ahead and talk out loud. You can tell who works at the school, right? Nice.
Should we keep sitting so God can just show us more of his grace?
Yeah, awesome. That's exactly it. Right? Grace gets shown when sin comes and God forgives. So Paul just got done saying how awesome grace is, and he's like, hey, newsflash, just so you understand, I'm not saying keep sinning so God can keep showing off his grace. There's way more in life than just God's grace, but that's exactly it. Should we sin just so God can show it off? Grace. What is the definition of grace? Somebody want to throw a definition out for it?
God's riches at Christ's expense.
Yeah, God's riches at Christ's expense. Have you ever heard that? The G-R-A-C-E, right? God's riches at Christ's expense. Unmerited favor, that's another term for it. So it's God giving me something I didn't deserve, right? And so don't keep sinning just so God can show that off, right? Okay, so that's what his challenge is. Verse 2, he's got an answer. What's it say there in your version? What's his answer to whether you should or shouldn't do that?
No,
by no means. Yeah, put it in your own words now. Give me your own words on it.
No way.
Any others?
Absolutely not.
Any others? Of course not. That's good, right? Like, come on. It totally makes sense that you wouldn't do that, right? That's where he's at. Okay, good. So, by no means, how can we who died to sin still live in it? Help me out. How can we who died to sin? What does died to sin mean? What's that?
Dead to that.
Okay. So that's a nice way to restate what's there. What does die to sin exactly mean? How did we die to sin? Good. We've asked God to forgive us. It's salvation, right? And because of salvation, I'm now dead to sin. So he's saying, hey guys, remember, sin cost Christ everything. He died to that, right? So it's helpful to even write, died to sin in quotes, and then put after it like, I'm saved, I'm free from it, whatever word you want to put there, okay? So this is how I go through, by the way, when I'm preaching, when I go through a passage, I'm writing, quote, it says this, well, what's another way to restate that? And then I write next to it my restatement, and I just have a bunch of these going on through a passage, just to make sure I'm grasping it, okay? So, how can we who say we died to sin still live in it? What does it mean to still live in it? We're still doing it. Yeah, it's a pattern of your life. Why are you going after that when you're dead to that? What's going on with that? Why are you doing that? Right? It doesn't make any sense. It's the of course kind of, we're getting back to that, right? Okay. You're still doing it. So do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? All right. So sometimes when you read something, it can be a little bit more heady. Sometimes it can be really simple. This one has a little bit more meat to it, right? Do you not know that if you've been baptized in Christ, what does that mean? Baptized in Christ. Does anybody have another version where it reads a little differently than that? They all kind of read the same, huh?
We forgot when we were joined to Christ Jesus in baptism.
Yeah, good. So the word joined is added in there, right? So it's speaking to being united with him in his death, right? There's this, baptism is a showing. So this is really a metaphor. Is he saying that somehow there was this, you were going down into, and it was like Jesus dead, and like, it's not this real thing going, it's a metaphor of what's taking place. You've been baptized into his death. Like, you are actually identifying with him in his death. Okay? So if you've identified with him in his death, that's what they're talking about here. Then you have this other thing going on. What's the next thing? Look at the next verse. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death in order that. So we were buried with him by baptism. Help me understand that a little bit. What's going on?
Your old sinful life is buried.
Yeah.
Opportunity to...
Yeah, your old sinful life is buried, and now you have an opportunity to live for him. I mean, it's exactly, you're going to see that word old self coming up in just a second here. He's saying, look, there's a death, there's been a baptism into this now. You've been dead, buried, and there's going to be a rising again. Notice you have this full experience with Christ. Okay? So we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death in order that, might want to just note, that's one of those. So it's a purpose statement, right? In order that or so that. It's a healthy thing to write down. In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead. Who was raised?
Christ.
So redefine that for me. Just as Christ was raised from the dead. What does that mean? Yeah, duh, right? It was his resurrection. Just got to keep checking and making sure we're tied into it, right? Like we're just talking about when Jesus rose from the dead. And so Jesus died and he was buried and he rose. And guess what? We get to share in all that, right? So just as Christ was raised from the dead, by what? What raised Christ from the dead? What's that?
The glory of his Father.
Yeah, the glory of his Father. That's his power. Right? It was brought out well this morning. One of the ladies caught that. It's God making the move there. It's his power, his authority, his glory that raised Jesus from the dead. And guess what? That's what's at work in you as well. So we have this death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and we get to identify with it. Notice what he's saying here too, this baptism. Baptism was a way to show that you were hooked with him. Okay. Now remember, at the point Christ was put on the cross, Peter bolts, right? Everybody's leaving. Christ is left alone, and he's saying, hey, you are standing up to identify with him. That's what he's saying, right? So this baptism is like, you're willing to stand with him at the cross, and you're identifying with him in his death and burial and resurrection. You have his glory at work in you. That's what he's saying. It's pretty powerful. Now, he says right after it a few things. That we too might walk in newness of life. So, help identify that for me. What does that mean? Let's get the word walk first. What's the word walk mean? Yeah, daily living, following Jesus. It's a step-by-step of life with him, right? Okay, it's intentional, it's relational. Yeah, it's a walk. Daily living. So it says that you might walk in newness of life. What's that mean?
That your old self is gone.
Old self gone, been forgiven. So we're emphasizing that newness side. Give me another word for newness.
Reborn.
Keep going.
Not dead.
Redeemed. Just keep throwing them out. I mean, this is where you work on it. You just wrestle with it a little bit. I mean, new. It's fresh. It's a great start on things again. It's not like it was, right? Whatever you can throw in there. So it's just coming to life a little bit. It's too easy as you read Scripture to go, we might walk in newness of life, moving on. And you really don't, you haven't contemplated what all it meant. You kind of get it. You have this gist, like I'm supposed to be sort of with Jesus. And so somehow when we get done with a read, we're sort of always this way. So what did it say? I don't know. I'm supposed to kind of just be with Jesus and it's supposed to be good. I guess, kind of like that. Like, it's so vague that nothing's going to move you, right? Stop, dive in, really let each word kind of come to life. Grab the phrases, restate them a little bit, capture it, okay? So as we move through this, and we're going to do this with two more paragraphs here, really keep working on it yourself. Keep thinking, how would I say that? What would I say then? Because when you get home and you're doing it yourself, you want to have a little bit of confidence that you're ready to go after it, okay? So keep doing it with me here. Bear with me. I know we're in a group of 50, and it's a little more awkward to be crying things out. I get that, but let's just work together on it, okay? All right, so that's the first paragraph, okay? So here we go with the second paragraph. Go ahead. You can, like, move your head back and forth. Get ready. Here we go. Verse 5. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in resurrection like his. All right, so let's break it down. If we've been united with him in a death like his, so what's that mean?
And I are one, and his death counts as my death.
Okay, so his death counts as my death. That's a great summary, right? Anybody else want to throw something at it? I've been united with him in his death. I mean, it's pretty clear. If you want to throw something else at it, no problem. I think that it's basically just saying, look, Christ had this happen, and he's counting it for us. We're united with him in that. Okay? Do you notice how I really work hard at when I'm doing this? I use very simple language. You try not to use big, deep Christianese words that would look great on a t-shirt, and you have no idea how to live them. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, just make it simple. Just easy grammar, basic words. What does it mean? Like, I'm united with Christ. Like, me and him together. I guess that's what it means. You know what I'm saying? Just put it in basic terms. Okay? So if we've been united with him in his death, we shall certainly... Remember I talked to you about some power words? So there's a power word, right? We shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So help me understand that. What's he saying there in that whole sentence?
We will be born again?
Yeah, we'll be born again. So say it to me where we maybe lose some Christianese too. I love the born again phrase, don't get it wrong. I have no problem with the phrase, but let's say it so we kind of get it in another fashion too. Come to life. Yeah. So we get to have this life with them, right? The resurrection. So he's saying, look, guys, it's more than the death sin talk. It's life talk, right? And notice he says, certainly. Like a good example, if somebody came up to me and said, do you have cookies in your cupboard? I would say, oh, we certainly have some cookies in the cupboard. How do you know? Well, because I've just had some. We certainly have cookies in that cupboard, and they're awesome, right? And so the certainly is, I know, I've checked it, I can guarantee it, right? I vouch for it. Are you hearing the power in it? Paul is saying, I'm telling you this is fact, right? Certainly. Those are big deals. So certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Verse 6. We know that our old self, here we go with that phrase, right? The old self. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. Okay. Man, do we have to really understand this one. This is deep, and it can mess up your understanding of sin if you don't get it right. So, notice what he says. Read through it real carefully. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. How can we rephrase that? What's the body of sin?
Mine says to be done away with.
Good. So you got done away with there. Yeah. So somehow this sin is done away with. What other phrase do people have there? That the body of sin might be nailed to the cross? Okay. That's right after it. Yeah. What else might happen to that body of sin? What other versions do you guys have?
So that sin might lose its power.
Lose its power? Okay.
The message says that it no longer be at sin's every beck and call.
Good. Not be at sin's every beck and call. Okay. So the bottom line is the original language word basically says to be destroyed, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Man can get that, get misunderstood, right? So it's like if you're saved, there won't be any more sin? Is that what it means? That's not what it's saying. It's saying dethroned. Like, it's off the throne, God's on the throne, right? It's saying no power, right? So, you guys' translations have all read very well, which is it removes the power, okay? So that sin in us, no more authority. So that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. What's the word enslaved mean?
Bondage.
Owned. Yeah, under the control of, like, if you're a slave, they say jump, you say how high, right? So if you're enslaved to sin, it controls you, right? You're no longer there. All right, verse 7. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Help me understand that verse. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Yeah. Freed from its power. In fact, it's saying even more than that, I think. There's a little bit that's... Can you hear it? For one who has died. You hear how he's kind of going into sort of a hypothetical... I think what he's saying actually is... I mean, think about it. When you die and go to heaven, no more sin. Like, we get it when you've died, physically, sin's done. Guess what? When there's spiritual death, like, sin's dethroned too. I think that's a big part of what he's saying. There's no authority that sin has over you, like Deanna just said.
I like the word it says free from sin because it just talk about being a slave to sin.
Yeah, that's a good catch. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's playing off of the two, right? You were in bondage, now you're not. Good catch. Thanks, Sherry. Now, if we have died with Christ, verse 8, we believe that we will also live with him. What's verse 8 telling us?
Goes back to that certainly. There's a guarantee. If we've been baptized into his death, if it has no power over us, then now we are free to live with him.
Yeah, so it's an absolute guarantee, free to live with him. The Christian walk is not about fire insurance. Right? That's like another way to say it. See how I got kind of really into other words to try to phrase it? It's just not about the death only talk. It's about life talk. It's about power talk. It's about hope talk. Right? That's kind of what he's saying. Okay. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Help me understand that.
Well, death is the bad, and Christ has already done that. And so, there's no more, that has no more power over him. He's already done it.
Yeah, he's done it.
He's done it.
Victory.
The conqueror.
Conquered.
Once and for all.
What's that? He can't do it again. Yeah, once and for all, which we see come up right in that next sentence, right? So we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. Once for all. That's huge. Like, sin, it's a problem. It's taken care of. Trust in him. Those are some easy rephrases for it. See what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, it can really start coming to life for you. Okay, verse 10. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Anybody want to take a shot?
When he died for all.
Mm-hmm. Good. So that catches the first half. He died for all of our sins. Second half. And through the resurrection, there's eternal life available. Bang. That's some deep stuff. And it's good to be able to really track your way through. Okay, so you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So, help me understand that. So, what must we consider ourselves?
Dead to sin.
Dead to sin and alive to Christ. Okay, what's the word consider mean? Okay. So, it definitely means think about it. What do some of your other versions say instead of consider? Count it.
Reckon.
We always talk that way, right? For I reckon. Any other words? Yeah, so it means consider it, but it means more than that. It means absolutely, once you've considered it, know this, count on it, be this, absolutely certain it must happen. It's not like, hey, you might want to consider coming over tomorrow, right? It's not that. It's consider this, you need to be dead to sin and alive to Christ, period. That's what it needs to be, okay? So let me just show you something real quickly now. Let's back the truck up. We're going to go through two paragraphs here. He says, so we're just starting with the first couple of verses. I'm going to take your rephrases, okay? What, are you kidding me? There's no way I'm going to sin so that his grace can be shown off. You got to be joking. Don't you know? I'm actually aligned with him because of his death and burial and resurrection. We absolutely have life in him, and it's his power at work in me. I am absolutely walking in that fresh start. That's the first paragraph. Those are your words. Like, I'm just going back and throwing them in. I mean, it just brings some power to it as you put it into your own vocabulary. Is it that those words matter more than others, or it's a better way? It's not about better. It's about you have this language you talk in. And you're using your vocabulary to capture what this is saying, and it's going to have deep meaning to you. And I'm telling you, for me, and all of us is different, but I'm telling you, for me, I need to start voicing this for it to really start moving me. Like, I go back and I restate it like that, verbally. Go ahead and close your door, with look in the mirror, whatever you want to do so you don't feel bizarro about it. But I'm telling you, I go after it saying this, and that's when I get all pumped up on it, okay? When I get to the end of a week and I'm going to preach on a weekend, if it's Friday or Saturday and I've done this and gone through the work and I'm still not fired up, I missed something. It's God's word. There's something phenomenal in it. Why am I not fired up about it? And I go back and just say, Lord, rock me. Like, what am I missing? And by the end of it, I better be emotional. I better be excited or saddened, or there better be tears brought, or I'm passionate about it. Something's going to rip me up. And then I'm bringing that to the pulpit on Sunday. Okay? And we start living that way. His word comes to life. It like leaps off the page at you. It's expectant. Lord, make your word rip me. And go after it that way. All right? You look at the second paragraph. For if we've been aligned with him, like his life for my life, his death for my death, are you kidding me? My sinful self, well, it's done. That's over. And because it's done and over, because that died, I now have been literally freed. I'm no longer a slave. Sin, absolutely no authority over me. Period. Christ, now I'm living for him. The death that he died, once, for all of us. Like in the end, you've got to be kidding me. Of course I'm going to consider living for him and not for sin. That's the second paragraph. Your words and some of mine put in there too, right? Like, I'm telling you, it's powerful. It really helps you just move through it easily. Are you getting it? So this is what you're going to be doing as you walk through the first 3 days each week. It's just taking the passage and breaking it down and moving through like that, okay? Let's just do the third one real quickly here. I don't want to spend a lot of time because we need to make sure we get through some of the other pieces. But let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Okay. What's another word for reign?
Take over.
Take over, take control. Anything else?
In charge.
In charge, rule. Yeah, okay. Don't let it rule, right? So let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Help me understand that phrase. You can always tell it's a little deeper. I think a little more. Hang on. What do you think?
Let it take control of you and form you to its ways.
Yeah. He's basically, this is where he's giving sin almost a living, breathing character, right? So, I mean, we don't have to go into all the English words and all that, but he's basically saying, are you kidding me? Sin, it's like it's got its own passions, man. It'll take over. Don't let it think for you. You think. Set it aside. Right? Okay. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness. What's the word present mean?
Offer.
Did somebody say display?
Display,
offer. Like, don't show it this way. Don't use it this way. Right? What way? Don't present your members as sin to instruments for unrighteousness. What's the result here? What's he saying? Don't do what? Don't offer yourself. Yeah. It's pretty simple. Keep your body clean. Don't express sin with yourself. Right, whatever phrase you want to throw on it. Right? But instead do what? But present yourselves to whom? To God, as those who have been brought from death to life. And your members to God as instruments for righteousness. So how do we present ourselves as those who have been brought from death to life? What's that mean? What's he trying to capture there?
Salvation.
Right?
Don't forget what he's done for you.
Yeah.
We couldn't have done it ourselves. He did it for us.
There you go. Right? It's like, you got to be kidding. In light of what he's done for you, show that with your actions. Mm-hmm. What an awesome thank you offering you can have. Right? That kind of phrasing. I love using the phrase thank you offering when you're talking about works, because, man, can works get misunderstood. So what are works about? They're not about earning salvation. It's just a thank you offering. Right? Make sure you live a huge thank you offering back to him. That kind of simple statement. Right? For sin will have no dominion over you. What's that say?
No control.
No authority, right? No rule. It'll have no rule over you since you are not under law but under grace. What's the law? Yeah, rules, commands. Where do we find those rules and commands specifically when it says law in the Bible? Old Testament, right? He's like, hey, I know you guys have been following the Old Testament, and I know there's a ton of law in there. You're not under that anymore. What are you under? Grace. What's grace mean? We talked about it at the beginning. What's another way to say grace? Unmerited favor, God's riches at Christ's expense. Like, I didn't deserve this, but I'm getting it. It's a gift from God, okay? What an awesome opportunity. So again, we've talked about rephrasing those. That's just walking through. You're going to spend 3 days doing that. That's observation. That's the equivalent of kindling wood, okay? You just got done doing that kind of work, and you've got this dry wood sitting there that is not on fire. Now, how many times do we do that kind of work and we stop? And we're like, whew, just did a ton of study in the Bible. That was awesome, right? There is no heat in that. Like, that's nice, but I'm telling you, until we find application in it, nothing. Okay? It's just like standing before dry wood going like this. People walking past are like, dude, you're missing something, right? That's what we're talking about. Okay, so let's move to this next piece here. This morning I like skipped the wrong section. So just so you know, repeated words. Do you see any repeated words in there? Sin, grace, dead, life, resurrection,
baptism.
Any others? Yeah, Christ, God. Follow?
Power.
Dominion, rule. Yeah. Okay. So you just say a few of those words. You kind of get the gist. All you have to do is say those words, and you're like, wow, I think I kind of know what this thing's about. Right? Okay. Now, verbs. Remember, verbs are those things you can do. So throw some verbs out. Let's just do it from the first section, 1 through 4. Tell me some verbs.
Walk.
What's that? Died.
Sinning.
Baptized. Notice it says have been baptized. That's part of the verb too. So just keep those tied together. It tells you when it happened. Have been. It's like past tense done.
Have been buried.
Have been buried. What's that?
Serve.
Okay. So can you see those verbs? Now, let's do this. We're going to jump from some of this. I'm going to jump right into the next section if you flip over. See where it's in power words? We talked about some of those dead and crucified, certainly, those kinds of things. Okay. Let's drop down to principle there. See number 2? When it comes to the commentary, by the way, you see that at the end of, what is that number, what is that, letter G? John has got some commentary addresses online for you that you can get some free commentary help to say, hey, I got kind of stuck on this piece. I don't know what to say that is. I don't know what that even means to rephrase it. So she's got some things online that you can go to for that so you don't have to be buying a commentary right off the bat, okay? So you can use that throughout the week. Number 2 there, the principle. So we're going to find the timeless truth. Verses 1 through 4. Help me now. What we're going to do is we're going to put a command phrase over verses 1 through 4 that tells me what I should do. Remember, it's in the command form, okay? Tell me what I should do just from verses 1 through 4, from its overall statement there. Using those verbs, it can really help you. Remember, we used verbs like walk and that kind of stuff. So give me an idea. What's a command that comes off of verses 1 through 4?
Live new lives.
That's awesome. Like, that is powerful, direct. You get what you're supposed to do, right? Anything else? Somebody want to throw a different one?
Stop sinning.
So that'd be a great 1-2 punch, right? Stop sinning, live new lives. Man, if you didn't think that caught captured 1 through 4, right? I don't know what would. If you notice, on Sunday mornings, when I'm preaching, like, that, this is what I'm doing. The mainline points that we're walking through, that's what it is. It's a verb-based, it's an action-based thing off of that section, that paragraph, okay? And it's, let's make sure we keep this in mind, and now let's dive in and catch some details on it, all right? So let's do the second one. Throw me some verbs off of 5 through 12, 5 through 11. What are some verbs there?
Be united.
What's that?
Be united.
United, yep, be united.
Free from sin.
Free. Crucified.
Resurrection.
Yeah, the resurrection is the noun side. Does it... I'm losing that. Yeah, so what's the verbs around it? Tell me some other action words going on.
Raised to life.
Belief. Raised.
Died.
Lives. How about verse 11? What's the verb in verse 11?
Consider.
Okay. Remember, that's not the wimpy kind of consider. It's the... This needs to be where it's at. Rock solid. Okay? So those are your verbs. Now give me a command out of verses 5 through 11.
Be
basically capture the whole of this thing with a phrase. What do you think? To the second piece. I'll give you a hint. Look for something where it's giving verbs that you can do. Not verbs done to you, but verbs you can do.
Take the life that he's given you.
Take the life?
Take the life.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a good way to say it. Take the life. Anybody else want to throw one up there? Get one more thought. Who else wants to throw them up? A good summary for this.
Be transparent.
Be transparent. Cool. God's working in to show it. That's powerful.
Live with Christ.
That's good. What's that? Reflect his
likeness.
His likeness.
Be alive to him or on fire for him.
Be alive to him or on fire for him. Those are great. I mean, you guys are getting it. Like, you totally grasp what you're supposed to be doing with that section, okay? So, and then the last one. Let's just try to do the third one real quickly. Give me a couple of verbs coming out of here. This is verses 12 through 14. What's that? Rain. Notice right ahead of it, it's like, let not sin reign, right?
Obey.
Are we confused as to where we are? Okay, I'm bouncing back and forth, okay? So there's verbs that are going on, and then we're going back to the principle and naming the points, okay? So the verbs, I'm not sure what page number it is on, but the verbs is on the bottom of page 3. Like, all of these verbs that we're listing would all go there, okay? I just was keeping them together so you could keep them in your mind. So now we're on to the next page, page 4. This is the principles, and we're listing the summaries of those sections. Down at the bottom there, number 2. See where it says title each group with action statements? Does that make sense? Does everybody see where we are? Okay. Sorry about that. I think I did the same thing to the morning group. They just didn't tell me they were foolish. I lost them. Okay, 12 through 14. Give me the command forms in this.
Offer yourself to God.
Offer yourself to God. That's good.
Don't let sin control you.
Offer yourself to God. Okay. Anybody want to give another shot? Okay. So, here's the deal. I think those are really good summaries. And if you notice, what we did now is we started kind of at the 10,000 foot level, and we're like, get the name over it that they threw on it. Now, I'm just going to tell you now, whatever they put over it in your Bibles is usually a pretty lame title. Okay? And why is it lame? Because they're trying to capture, what they're trying to do is capture the truth of what's in there, but they're not capturing what you should do about it. Okay? So I'm trying not to use the big words, but I'm going to use them anyway. So here we go. It's not homiletical, but it's exegetical. So what are they meaning? They're like grabbing truth out of it. They're sucking the truth out, but they're not telling you what you should do about it. Okay? So, like, dead to sin, alive to Christ. Factoid. Great. What am I supposed to do with that, though? Okay? So that's what they've done. They put a title over it. It's okay. It gives you some starting point of what it's about, but it's usually informational. You want to turn it to applicational, something I can do with it. Okay? Does that make sense? Every time you turn it to applicational, you start getting heat. Okay? That's where the spark hits. That's where you're starting to load the heavy logs on. You want this to be do-oriented, not know-oriented. Our Christian community has built themselves on shoulder up. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, you need to know it. Like, head knowledge. It is not an exciting time. Like, I'm just telling you, the more you know, the more bored you can get. It's not about knowing. It's about being and doing. Let's not be hearers of the word. Let's be doers. Okay? So applicational. That's where it's going. Make sense? Okay, so you got that title over the top. And now from there, you've dove in. You've gone through all the observations. You stacked your kindling. You went back. You found verbs. You've done a lot of observing. Then you dove into the principal piece. We split it into three sections, which Jonna does for you each time. You'll know your sections. She'll tell you the verse area. Hey, come up with some command form out of it, just like this, okay? So, like you've got here, and then the next step after that is to try to come up with some so what am I going to do about it? Applicational. So let me just throw it together this way. Little sermonette for like 30 seconds here, okay? We go back to the top. Are you kidding me? With what Christ has done for us, like sin, yeah, sin is destroyed. I don't have to worry about living in sin. I'm free from that. I can stop sinning. I can live a new life that he has for me. In fact, I can live transparently. I can live with Christ. I can reflect his likeness in everything I'm doing and everything I'm going after. Christ matters. I'm identified with him, and he's going to change my life because of it. Praise be to God. What grace he's displayed. I can offer myself to God, and I'm thrilled to do it. I'm not going to let sin control me anymore. Those are your words. Like, do you see the power in being able to just find it, let it slowly work its way out, build it into the sections? So I just end with this simple challenge. The final heavy log in the fire is application. So what's the sin that's got you so easily entangled that you need to let go of? Like, let's turn it real personal and practical. And this is where the heat goes up. Now it's time for you to walk away saying, God, I'm done letting this sin reign in my life. I want you to be honored with what I'm doing. So my simple question to you is, what's that sin for you? Duh. Right? It's good to work that out. And man, I'm telling you, that's where the heat comes. So let's do one last thing. We get all done with that. We're sort of challenged and we're stirred and we got it and we know what we're going after. Here's the final question. Let's name this whole thing. Pretend it's like, for you, it's a sermon for you for the week of how you're going to live and what you're going to go after. Let's put a name over this whole thing, okay? Give me a title for this and try to keep it action-oriented still. Some kind of verb in it.
Breakaway
from sin. Breakaway sin. It's not rights and wrongs here. Just capture a good. What hits you on this as an overall?
Be free with Christ.
Be free with Christ. That's good.
Breathe out, breathe in.
Good. I'll be partial to that one. Breathe out, breathe in.
Letting go, moving on.
Letting go, moving on. Wow. That'll preach. Have fun with it. This is some artistic expression time, right? This is like, God, I'm just going to ponder this for a while. Like, I got to go on a 20-minute drive, and I'm just going to consider these verses I've been studying and wrestling with, and how would I name this? And what would I do with it? My wife and I were talking today, and we basically came down to this phrase, dead to that. Live for him. Whatever you can come up with that kind of captures the overall. Sin has no dominion. Lord, you rule my life. You've got my attention. Make sense? Any questions? Like, we just walked, like, again, this is, we did it in 45, 50 minutes. You're going to do this over 5 days so you can slow down, take some time, think through things. But any questions? We good? Okay. So, you want to take over?
I just want to say that,
I was fortunate enough to take a few graduate classes at Moody when Tim started seminary, and then it got too hectic because he was also working several jobs. But I got to take a class in the book of Romans, and you know, and I've studied Romans many times throughout my life. But going through these chapters in the last several months, and I started doing this in order to be prepared for you guys, and breaking it down phrase by phrase changed my life. I've been able to let go of some things. I'm seeing God in a way that I had not seen before, and you know, just to even for what we learned today, that we're not under God's law, but we are under His undeserved favor. I mean, how amazing is that? We don't do anything to earn it. We don't do anything to lose it. We just are His, and He loves us. And He gave it to us. He brought us through. I just hope that as you're going through this, you're going to have those aha moments where you're just going to be just in awe of how much you're loved by God. If there's anything that's going to bring me to my knees, it's not shame for what I've done, but it's awe of how much I'm loved. And I hope that you're going to find that as well. I am going to tell you the name of your groups and where you're going to be meeting. And you're going to go ahead. We're just going to have about 15 minutes to meet together as our groups tonight. But it's going to give you a chance to get to know each other, find out who you're with. And so I'm going to list up where you go. If you could just wait until I've said everything. You want to turn this off? Is that what you're doing?
Oh. I was just going to say, you might want to talk about 5 days so we don't have to know.
Oh, okay. So days 1, 2, and 3 of your homework, there's also going to be Bible memorization, and I did put all the verses in the ESV, and you're going to see why that's important. So at the back of your book, the verses are in the ESV, like the second to the last page. So if you could memorize that, it's not a sin issue, so if you do memorize in a different version, it's okay. It's just that when you go to fill in blanks, you'll be a little bit lost. But other than that, days 1 and 2 will be mostly rephrasing of the verses. Day 3 will be going through repeated words, verbs, power words, and all that, and commentary. Day 4 will be looking for the principles, like what we just did here. And then day 5 will be focusing on how am I going to apply this to my life? What does it matter? And then when we come back together, we'll be talking through some of that. So hopefully that will kind of help break it down. You'll be working on the Bible memorization 5 days a week, and there'll be some prayer time. So hopefully that will kind of help it all come together for you. Okay. If you have any questions about that at any time, feel free to come up and talk to me or send me an email or whatever.